Graphic Audio presents Only Superhuman.
And he knew space habitats, so he had a pretty good sense of what was wrong with Chakra City even before he tapped into their security web. Oh! As soon as the groaning began, he gathered up Emerald in his arms and rocketed for the nearest exit into the habitat's interior space. He had to blast out a few conduits to get there, but that was the least of Chakra City's problems, as he and Emerald saw clearly as soon as they were in view of the skylights that arched overhead, forming the inner half of the toroidal shell. The radiators, the two long narrow panels that extended from the axis on the northern side of the habitat rings, permanently edge on to the sun, were gone. White-hot stubs remained where they had connected to the hub, and a glowing scar ripped across the industrial block between them.
Oh, goddess!
The security reports and Arcadi's suit cameras complemented each other in telling the tale. A ship docked to the hub beyond the radiators, no doubt under Neo-Gaian control, had ripped free of its cradle and turned its fusion drive nozzle toward the station hub, sweeping a cone of exhaust plasma across it and severing both radiators at their connection points. The pressure from the drive exhaust and the vaporized coolant that burst from the ruptures conspired to accelerate the radiators toward the habitat rings, striking their northern side with some force. One had bounced off the uncompleted northernmost ring, smashing a number of the heavy chevron-shaped mirror strips that directed sunlight into the torus while shielding it from direct radiation. The mirrors had been knocked into the skylight panels below, shattering several and causing an atmosphere breach. However, it would take hours for the pressure loss from that breach to become significant. But by misfortune or design, the other radiator had snagged on the end cap of the newly added ring section he and Emerald were in. Suddenly imparted with angular acceleration, the radiator had acquired weight, falling down and anti-spinward. That, combined with its existing motion athwart the rings, had caused the long, flat array of panels to wrap around their top half, or rather, to crash against them. The skylight arch on the next ring over was badly damaged. It looked as though it might have caught the edge of the ship's plasma exhaust as well. Worse, from the way the skylight sagged under the twisted panel, Arcadi could tell the radiator wasn't breaking apart as it should. Now there was a long strip of material massing kilotons hanging down over 100 meters below the ring, weighted down by gravity approaching and maybe even surpassing Earth's. And it was tugging on the rest of the panel, worsening the strain on the mirror strips and skylight and threatening to tear clear through it and smash down on the people below. Not to mention the far worse air loss that would result from a breach of that size. It was night, so there were few people outdoors to be hit by falling debris. But that wouldn't matter if the whole sky fell on their roofs. And the sun mirror to the south had already switched from black to reflective as the habitat went into emergency daylight mode. They forced open the hatch and crossed into the damaged section, where air and debris were rushing out of the growing rift in the skylight. The occupants were running for the exits, and the troubleshooters hastened to assist in an orderly evacuation.
We were wrong!
Emery used her subvocal transceiver to be heard over the noise.
We thought they were gonna let the virus spread through normal traffic to Earth, but they wanted to force an evac, get as many infected refugees as possible in contact with other people. They must have sabotaged the dock sensors, kept the drive buildup from being detected.
Arcadi had been wondering about that. A ship that even warmed up its fusion or plasma drive anywhere near a habitat would set off alarms and be blown out of the sky if it didn't shut down before its engines were ready to fire.
There wouldn't have been time for the viruses to spread yet.
They would have waited a few days, but we forced their hand. Now Krieger's gonna try to infect as many people as he can in the chaos of the evac.
He'll be heading up to the spaceport then.
The passage to the docks led through the damaged industrial block, but should be deep enough within it to remain passable. The skylight framework buckled a little more under the weight of the radiator and mirror strips, causing several more heavy window panels to fall from the sky.
We have to get the people out. We'll worry about Krieger when we reach the port.
After that, it was an efficient scramble, coordinating with the Chukrin police and emergency crews to manage the evacuation, to hurry the people toward the nearest elevator shaft to the hub. Arcadi tried to estimate how long it might take Wolf Krieger to get to the port and infect its ships with his polyviruses. He got on the comm and issued instructions that no escaping ship be allowed to land on Earth or dock with any other habitat until a medical team checked it out. But he couldn't be sure how fully that would be heeded in the chaos. He just had to hope that the crush of the crowd would impede Krieger, giving them time to head him off. there was any comfort here, it was that the bad guy had been forced to improvise. But then, the skylight frame buckled and gave way. Arcadi realized it would come down virtually on top of the last group of stragglers he was with.
Everybody run! Move, quickly!
Emerald caught his sense of urgency and began herding them forward as fast as she could. But a large chunk of the skylight frame was falling right for him, a pair of massive mirror strip panels riding on its back. Without a second's thought, Arcadi stopped running and lifted his arms skyward, bracing his legs and locking the Simbot's joints. The impact drove his arms and torso down, but the Simbot held, and the last few Chukrins were able to start scrambling out from under.
Move!
The problem was, the servos were starting to give out. Arcadi realized he wouldn't have the power left to push this thing off, not in the brief moments before the radiator panel gave way and came down on top of him. All he could do was hold it and make sure the Chukrins and Emery got to safety. But then Emerald had to go and turn around. And then his wonderful, brilliant student had to be an idiot and run back to him.
Arcadi!
Go! Save the others! My suit's shut!
No, I won't leave you!
Emery grabbed a fallen girder and tried to use it to brace the ceiling fragment.
No!
She knew it was futile. But the poor, lonely child couldn't face it, couldn't bear another loss.
God damn you, you idiot! For once in your life, listen to me, you foolish child! Go! That's in order! Go!
She jerked her head back as though he'd struck her and gazed at him with a look of shock and betrayal and abandonment, tears pouring down her face, looking like the little girl he'd met 9 years ago, just minutes too late. But she was listening.
You have too many other lives to save!
That got through to her. It was the only thing that could have.
No!
Emery turned away, and she ran.
Emerald! I love you!
Arcadi accepted the inevitable, finding peace. His old comrade had served him well, but it had reached its limits. At least the breaking of the radiator meant that its remaining pieces would fall free and put no more strain upon the habitat. At least he'd gotten the people out. That was what mattered. He knew Pavel and the kids would understand. He just prayed, with his last thought, that Emerald would.